so much, everyone. It's so good to be with you here this morning, especially those on MS Teams and those on YouTube Live. You're going to really be blessed today. I really do believe that. But before we start, I'd like to just pray for the preaching of God's word. Father, we realize it's your word that transforms us and renews our minds. And I ask that today that every one of us, Lord, as we come under your word, of the preaching of your word, that, Lord, that we'll not only gain insight and understanding, but that, Lord, this revelation that comes will change the outworking of how we live. Lord, because we know that you want to change us from faith to glory. And I really ask that you, Holy Spirit, would do that everyone in our lounges, wherever we're sitting today and finding ourselves, that, Lord, this will be the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today as your word is preached. So bless this time, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I just really want to encourage you as a family, as we find ourselves again in lockdown or level three, I just really had it on my heart to encourage you is that we've got some changes to make in the way we actually live. And this is part of transformation. And there's a natural transformation in the natural, but also spiritual. But naturally, I just really want to encourage you, we've got to move with the times and we've got to change. And this change to technology, we need to embrace. And I want to suggest to you that in our budgeting, we need to be budgeting for data and technology as we go forward. It's not all evil. We really need to move with the times. And I really do encourage you to, as you buy food and you buy petrol, I'm asking you to look at your budgets. And I want to say to you that data is an essential to go forward today. We see how the church has gone online. I'm telling you, going forward, it's not going to change. There's still going to be a hybrid of going forward. Yes, we will still want to meet, but there will always be this aspect of we needing data. So I'm encouraging you, look at your devices, look at your data packages. We are there to help. We've got people in the life of the church that can help you with that. Those that are battling in this area, we ask that you put your hands up, that we can come alongside you, because this is the way we're connecting at the moment, and we don't want to be robbed in the season. So I'll just really look at your finances, look at this area of budgeting, and apply yourself to that. Amen. In this time of crisis, the Lord has really just placed in my heart is this aspect of his word and encouraging us through Psalm 23. Now, as we look at Psalm 23, we're going to see that there's a lot of aspects of looking to the natural. And we see from scriptures, the scripture that was written were written by men of humble origin and were led by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. But it was written predominantly to people of nomadic folk who understood nature and culture of the time and the countryside. And where we find ourselves today, we live in this 21st century where we are exposed to technology, as I've even mentioned now, and we understand when you talk about MS Teams or you talk about an app or you talk about Wi-Fi or a router, we know what we're talking about because we've been exposed to that. But one thing that we haven't been exposed to is the natural side of things. We don't know what it is to raise it livestock anymore or to be exposed to growing crops, and maybe the farmers do, but we don't. Most of us are townies, so we don't always understand the aspects of the natural world so well anymore. And we see in the scriptures that Jesus himself used the natural world to speak about a lot of supernatural phenomena. And as we even as we start to look at Psalm 23, which I really believe is appropriate in the season, as God wants to encourage us and strengthen us, we're going to be looking at some of the natural phenomena around that. And really, as we go in the weeks ahead and God encourage us through his word, we're going to be looking at the natural outworking of shepherding and the sheep, but also just how that actually works and how God is going to be taking us and revealing things to us. So I'd like to title this message today, The Lord is My Shepherd, from Psalm 23. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please. And we're going to be reading Psalm 23. And we're going to be doing this for a number of weeks. So I'm really asking you to read not only Psalm 23, but start to memorize it. I remember a story of a Russian Christian that got stuck in a Russian prison. And one thing that brought him through, he had memorized Psalm 23, and he would recite it to himself. He started to proclaim it over himself. And he gives testimony to say that Psalm 23 and God's word established in Psalm 23 brought him through those very, very difficult times going forward. And I really believe that this word is a light to our path. So let's read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're going to be looking initially just at the Lord is my shepherd. And what I'm going to be covering today in the Lord, the first point is the Lord is my shepherd. We're going to be looking at the lordship of who God is as the shepherd and who is Christ the good shepherd. And then the practical application of that, what does this mean? Your lot in life is dependent on who your owner is. And secondly, who is Christ your Lord, the good shepherd, and the shepherd and the sheep, and belonging to Christ, the good shepherd. So firstly, looking at the Lord is my shepherd. David declared this. David was a shepherd in his father's house of Jesse. He was sent out to go and look after the sheep. And under that time, the Middle Eastern model of shepherding, where the shepherd would actually be up front and the sheep would come behind and would be led into the pastures, be led into the place of drinking, and they were looked after, protected from the predators. We see today, as times have changed, the predators are not the same. We don't have the lion and the bear. We might have the leopard and the jackal at the moment. But you find a lot of the farming has actually changed differently when it's looking after sheep now, that they don't have a shepherd anymore, but the farmer will go, and when there's lambing or shearing, he will go and be with the sheep. But this is not the model that was at that time in the Middle East at that time. The shepherd went before. And this is the reference that David has. He looks at this and he says, and he has a reference to this, that he was a shepherd and he sees God as his shepherd. And he eventually, the Bible actually says that he became the shepherd king of Israel. So what is, when David refers to the Lord, and it comes from the Hebrew word Yahweh, and we understand the word Yahweh is a reference word, a divine word for God's name, as the self-existent one, the eternal name of God. He's almighty, he's eternal, that he is sovereign. But we need to understand that as the Old Testament moved into a revelation of the New Testament, is that this name is transposed and comes into Christ. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the name that we've been given now under the New Testament, so that the name of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So David has a revelation of who the Lord is, and he says, the Lord, and he takes that and uses as a reference going forward. Then he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he understands, because the reference of how he grew up, that this is what the Lord's purpose and plan was over his life, that the Lord would take him into pasture and that he'd protect him, that he would not only do that, we'll provide for him in every single way. And this reference carries forward into the New Testament under John chapter 10, verse 11. And Jesus declares this over himself as the Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And also in verse 14, it says, Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own are known by me. So Jesus starts to reveal himself. Reference to the Old Testament, he reveals that I'm the good shepherd. David said to you, the shepherd. Christ says, I'm the good shepherd. So I ask the question, who is Christ the good shepherd? Now often, I remember growing up, and I remember before I came to know the Lord Jesus, I asked the question, who is Jesus? And a lot of us don't have an understanding of that, because it's a divine revelation. It takes time, and God the Holy Spirit has to reveal Christ to us. But we need to be asking those questions, and we need to be asking God the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. And that takes time. It's a process. It's a lifetime process of revealing God to us. And so often I want to just say to and encourage us today is that God wants to open up our understanding and our minds and our thinking, that so often we have too small a view, too cramped a view, and a too human view of who Christ is. God wants to open us up to understand who he is as Almighty God. You see, when we have a too small a view and a cramped view and a humanistic view of God, we don't understand that he's the Lord Almighty. You see, God wants us to come to a place of being under control, under his authority and his ownership. That's always been his intention. even though that he loves us and he wants to come into a relationship with us, he always wanted to be, that's why when we come to salvation, he asks us to confess him as Lord. And that means that what we do, we hand in over the authority of our lives and the control of our lives and the ownership of our lives to our Lord. And here comes the revelation that he wants to reveal himself to us as the Good Shepherd. So furthermore, who is this Christ? Christ created all things, natural and supernatural. And I read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God. This is Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Hear that. And through him to reconcile all things to him, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So here the scripture in Colossians actually embodies this incredible revelation of who Christ actually is. And it takes time for you to come to an understanding of that. But he created all things natural and supernatural. Now, in the person Christ, we need to reflect of what he wants to do in and through us and have a revelation of this. David was glad and proud to declare, "The Lord, he is my shepherd." And I'm wanting to encourage us today is that we'll get to a place and understand this, that the Lord will be our good shepherd as we go forward, that we would have not only a revelation, but that we'll begin to practice this in our daily walk as we live life in this time of crisis. And I want to just say to you, in this time of crisis, when there's difficulty and the things that are going through us, and we're all going through different things at this point in time, we're all facing trials, ups and downs, but God wants to reveal himself that he's the good shepherd. And not only does he want to reveal himself as good shepherd, he wants to show you that he's shepherding you and revealing himself to you. So under this understanding of who God is, I just want to expound a little bit about who is this triune God. The triune God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we understand that God the Father is the author, the originator of all that exists. It was in his mind first that all things took shape. And then God the Son, our Savior, is God the artisan, the artist, the creator of all that exists. He brought into being all that originally formulated in the Father's mind. And then God the Holy Spirit, he's God's agent. He presents these facts to our minds and spirits that our understanding becomes real to these truths. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. So then we've seen a revelation of who Christ is. Then we want to see, why did God want to reveal himself to us? Because he wants a relationship between God and man. See, God never created us only just to walk in a place of being individual and to be left alone. He always wanted to walk with us and walk in fellowship with us. And that's the good news, the relationship that God wants with us in Christ. He wants us to walk with him. God doesn't want to leave us independent. He wants us to lose our independence and become absolutely dependent upon him. Like a mother and a child, a father and his children, there's a dependency of the children on their parents. And I wanted to say God is our parent also, but as I'm revealing the Good Shepherd, he's deeply concerned for us. He wants his purposes and meaning of life to be fulfilled in our lives. And I wanted to say, as we submit to that and we allow God to have his plan and his purpose in our lives, it will go well with your soul. When we lose that independence and we start to take up our role as children of God and start to see God as Father and as one who's guiding us and leading us as the Good Shepherd, we will find the greater purposes that God has for our lives. You see, I really want you to be walking in the revelation that the Lord is your shepherd, that is your good shepherd. You see, David had an understanding of this and was proud to declare that the Lord is his shepherd. Now, I remember stories about young boys that they would be comparing their father and be talking about these big things that their father's in. And like the boys would get into talking about fishing. And the boy will say, "Oh, my dad, he caught that trout and it was a beautiful trout and we ate it and it was beautiful." And another boy would say, "No, we caught the cob down at the hole in the wall and it was massive and we ate it and it was also great." But then another boy says, "My dad caught a shark and that shark it was so big. But my dad was so gracious that he put it back in the sea. And you see, this is this boasting that young boys actually have when they talk about something. David had the same in his heart. He was proud and to declare that God is his shepherd, his owner, his master, his Lord, his manager of his life. So here we have the understanding that David is proud to be called the Lord is his shepherd. But now we get to the point of how do we practically apply this to our lives? So firstly, your lot in life is dependent on who your owner is. Now, we understand that that people that are born into different environments will find that their life will take a different path. But that's why God calls us out of this world. Doesn't want to change necessarily always our circumstances, but he calls us to his ownership. So if your owner is kind and gentle, intelligent and brave, you'll most probably find that your life will thrive and flourish and you'll have a contented life. But if you find that if your owner is harsh and dictatorial and selfish and weak in his management of you, you will struggle in life and starve and suffer and walk with endless hardship. But here Jesus comes and invites us in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. And this is the Lord speaking to us, because he wants us to embrace him as the good shepherd. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, this is never imposed upon us. The lordship and the Lord's shepherding of our life is never imposed upon us. We need to willingly accept it. And this is also a promise of invitation where the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and my burden is light. And this is what God has for us as we go forward. Secondly, who is Christ, your Lord and good shepherd? Now, the revelation of, again, of who the majesty and the might of who Christ is as the creator. There's two aspects. We can look at the stars. And firstly, the stars, if you look out at the stars, and I'm not an astronomer, but just some reading of that, there are so many stars out there that are absolutely massive. They say they estimate, and it's continuing to grow, there's 250 million times 250 million stars out there in universe, and it's expanding all the time. And one of those stars is the size of our sun, and God has this all in his hand in this vast universe. And he's the creator of that, and if he understands that, and can understand and hold the universe in his palm of his hand, how much more as he invites you to be your shepherd, that you can be a sheep and you can submit to his affection and his love. Same as you look and you look down on the earth and you look at the dirt and the sand below that, if you look in an electron microscope, it's teeming with billions upon billions of microorganisms. And if you look under those things, they still don't understand the depths and the complexity of those microorganisms. Even as you see now that we're facing this pandemic of coronavirus, still they don't even understand these things that are so small, but yet God knows those things and understands those things. So when we understand that God wants ownership of our lives and understands that he has the universe in his control, how much more does he want to be in control of our lives? Not as a dictator, but as a good shepherd. And that's what I'm offering to you today, is that the Lord Jesus wants to take ownership of your life in him. And I'm asking you today, please don't reject in your selfishness and take control of your own life. Release the ownership of your life. I've just seen in my own life, as I've walked these many years with the Lord, I've just seen there have been many times, we don't have perfect revelation, but I just find there's been key times in my life, in the roles that God has actually given me, that I've continued had to submit to him and release ownership over different areas of your life. And you'll see your circumstances will change as you walk through life, and there are different seasons that you find yourself. But this issue of independence and dependence is a key thing where we need to be handing ownership over to our Lord. Because as soon as we take reins again and we start to control our lives, you know, we tie the Lord's hands and he cannot come into our lives and fulfill what he wants to fulfill in our life. So I encourage you is that let Jesus be the owner of your life. Let him be the good shepherd. But I want to just say is that we cannot come to allow him to be Lord over our lives and the good shepherd until we confess him as Lord and Savior. We've got to understand that he paid the price for us on the cross. He paid for us to be part of him. He paid with his very life and with his very blood. He paid for us, and that through the cross that we can come to know him as Lord and Savior. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, he says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So Jesus paid the price that he can be the good shepherd. And I remind us again from John 10 verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He bought us with a price, with his precious blood. He bought us for ownership." And again, it's an invitation. It's not telling us to do that, but we invite his ownership over us. And the third point, just practically talking about the shepherd and the sheep. I've just been doing some reading around this as a shepherd looks after his sheep. So a shepherd will go and buy a sheep, but then once the sheep are bought, he's got to go and look after them, and he's got to get them to a place of flourishing and prosper. So the relationship that we have, we are God's sheep, and God is our shepherd, and he's laid down his life for us that we can flourish and we can prosper. Out of all of the livestock that there are, sheep seem to be the ones that need the most attention. They need endless attention and meticulous care. It seems that, I don't know, there's a frailty in sheep, and that's why they need a shepherd to care for them. And that's why we as God's sheep, he called us sheep. He's asking us to allow him to be shepherd over our lives. Also, as he calls us sheep, we seem to have the same behavioral patterns as sheep. We have a mass mind and mob instincts where we run and do things together. We have fears and we are timid at times. We are stubborn at times. We act foolishly and with stupidity at times. And we get into perverse habits. We do things wrong. And here Jesus says, "I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to help you to undertake and not to fall into those things." You see, he says, "I will intercede for you." He even says that in Romans 8 verse 34, that because I love you so much. He says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. He is interceding for us continually, even now, and wants to undertake for us. So those that do not know Jesus as the Good Shepherd, unfortunately, we see that there are two kingdoms in this world. We see those under the authority of a tyrant, and we understand that to be Satan and sin. And unfortunately, if we're under that authority of Satan and sin, we bear the fruit of suffering. But Jesus comes that he says that he will bring us abundant life. John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly." And that's the promises that God has for you. And then fourthly and lastly, to bring to, I think this is a key point and a crux of what we're doing, belonging to Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, naturally, what actually happens when a shepherd buys his sheep, what they normally do, they've got to mark the sheep. So what they normally do, they take a sharp cutting knife and they make a distinctive mark in the earlobe of the sheep. So that's painful. It's painful for the shepherd. It's painful for the sheep. But once that's done and it's healed, a shepherd can look upon the flock and he can see his distinctive mark upon his sheep, and he knows which are his. The same happened in the Old Testament when a slave of his own free will said, "I want to become a lifetime member of a family." They would use an awl, which is a tool that punches a hole, and punch a hole into the earlobe of the slave. And that would be a mark that would be upon that slave, that he belonged to that family. And the same today, we as Christians need to have the bearing of this mark, the mark of Christ upon us. And that is the mark of the cross. Now you'll say to me, "Mark, but how can we have the mark of the cross?" Now I know a lot of us will wear jewelry and we'll wear the cross and we'll have some affiliation to being one with Christ, and that's not wrong. It's good to wear those things. But you know, there's something that's got to take place in our hearts. And Jesus gives us a clue what and how do we carry the mark of Christ in our lives. And I read from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And this is the key. If you want to be under the shepherd's care, you need to deny yourself. The selfishness that gets in the way, your stubbornness, your own will, your independence, put that aside and take up the cross daily. And I will explain that more. That's to align yourself with Christ and the finished work of the cross, and then follow him as the Good Shepherd. That's a very key aspect. And if you remember anything today, remember that scripture. Anyone who would come after him, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Paul gives us a bit of understanding of what it is to take up your cross daily. And we read that in Galatians 2:20. It says, Paul says this, he identifies with what takes place at the cross. And this is going to take place in our hearts daily. I have been crucified with Christ, that he died. There was a sense, there was a funeral to the old man, the old way that took place. Paul says, I was crucified, even though we don't see it in the natural, but spiritually 2,000 years ago, Christ died for all of us, but we died in him. But we need to recognize that we died with him. And Paul continues to say in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, when we carry the mark of crucifixion, that we have died to ourselves, that we no longer live, and the life that we live by faith in the Son of God, and then we can begin to follow him. You see, this is a life of humility, a life of discipline, of sacrifice, but recognizing that Jesus is our life, that he's the one that we follow, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and out of that we find the fullness of his grace. You see, Jesus, when he bought us with his blood, with the price, he gave himself for us that he can give us life. So 1 Corinthians 6:24, you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Jesus wants us to come under his care and his management. Now, this is incredible news that God is our good shepherd. But you know what? Many folk don't walk in this. They don't walk in an understanding of this. They walk in their own ways and their own paths. They choose their own paths. And when they get into trouble, then they ask God for help. That was not the way. God never planned it that way. He planned for us to follow him and allow him to be owner and in control of our lives as we walk in an intimate personal relationship with him and live daily and work out this daily with him in all that we do. So I want to encourage you is if you're finding that you are not allowing Jesus to be your good shepherd, that today that you would change, that you would submit your heart to him, that not me, not the people in the life of the church, not your family, but God himself, Jesus himself, that you would respond to him and allow him to be your good shepherd. So the question I ask you, just in this, as you just ponder on this and work out, I ask you some key questions to search your heart and think about it. Firstly, do you really belong to him? Secondly, do you recognize his right of ownership over you? Thirdly, do you respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership over you? And then fourthly, do you find freedom and complete fulfillment in this arrangement? You see, you can fight this thing. You don't have to submit to these things, but if you submit to the thing, I promise you're going to find the fullness of life. And then do you sense a purpose and deep contentment because you're under his direction? I want to just encourage you. I was just working out the other day. From the time I gave my heart to the Lord, it's been nearly 44 years that I've been walking and following Jesus. And it hasn't always been easy. It's been ups and downs. But I want to tell you there's been a contentment, there's been a purpose, and the fulfillment of his plan and his purpose for my life and for those that he's used me to impact. And then sixthly, consider that the rest of your life is an adventure as you belong to him because he's the one that's Lord going forward. So I know we're all out there and YouTube and MS Teams. I want us to proclaim today, if that's in your heart, I want us to proclaim the Lord is my shepherd. So on the count of three, I want us to proclaim wherever you're in your lounges, wherever you are, will you proclaim with me? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd. But then I want us to take it further where Jesus declared that he's the good shepherd. I want us to proclaim on the count of three again, the Lord is my good shepherd. So 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my good shepherd. Amen. May this word encourage you. May you ponder upon it. May you meditate upon it. May you go and read it again. And may you bring change to your life as you examine your life in this area and allow Jesus to be your good shepherd. God bless you all. Thank you, Craig.